Lord, we want to thank you for your presence here in this room. We're just amazed that we can have audience with you, and here you are, leaning over toward us, seeing our heart, loving us so deeply, each one. Lord, we do invite your Spirit to minister to us today. Here we are, as we are. Here are you as you are. So come, Lord. Help us to be attentive. Thank you that we can fall into your grace right in this room. In Jesus' name we pray. What a good God, yeah? Wow. We get to be in harmony with him. Let's hear the word of the Lord from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. And I'm going to read the first portion. And you'll notice that there's a different font color on the last prayer itself. And we're going to do something a little different in that I'm going to read the first portion and you will read the second portion. Okay, we don't usually do that, so we're going to be everywhere like a dog's breakfast. But we'll learn to speak together, that prayer together. So I'll read the first part, and then you'll read the second part out loud. Okay, hear the word of the Lord. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Just as John taught his disciples, he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Beautiful.' In this teaching series, we've been going through the acronym of worship, W-O-R-S-H-I-P. With W, we looked at worship for all of life with Pastor Panin and Naomi. In O, for outreach, having just come back from Zambia, we had Dr. Clem Lowe speaking. For R, relationships with Pastor Kyle. With S, we had stewardship with Tim Wong. H, holy days, rest with Pastor Paul and Kathy DeWitt last week with our identity in Christ. And we come to the end of the series that with prayer and prophecy with myself. And the intent of this series is that different ones with the uniqueness of who they are and their spiritual giftedness across the congregation would be able to share how they go about living their life completely for the Lord Jesus Christ as living sacrifices with the unique way that they've been made. And if you want to discover more about exactly who you are in that uniqueness and spiritual gifting, Frank this week, would you stand up, Frank? Frank was going to take you through a spiritual gift course. All right, it starts on Tuesday, and if you see that man with the big red coat, after the service, he happily sign you up for that. So as we come to this final in the series, my task is simply to speak to the beginner about why prayer and prophecy is important. That's my target, to speak to the beginner about why prayer and prophecy is important. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to us through your word and that we would know it's from you. In Jesus' name, amen. And as we listen today, there's simply only one thing to do, because you will never remember all of the things that I've got to say today. And it's typically for me, the one thing I want you to do is to be able to find out what is loudest for you. That is what sticks in your mind. That one thing, that's all. Just, you can turn your phones off if you like. that one thing that sticks in your mind. Yeah? So watch for it, okay? It'll come to you and there'll be a sense of I will continue to talk, but you will sit with the thing that I've already said. And you consider whether that's the Lord speaking to your heart, or you might feel a little twinge inside, not necessarily physically. Hey, that's what the Lord's got for me today. This is not about who's on the platform or who's speaking. This is about the Lord with his grace, his goodness and his love whispering in your heart. So watch for the thing that's loudest, yeah? So let's start with prayer, and then maybe we might hopefully get along to prophecy somewhere else in the address. Let's start with prayer. So there's a life group seeking to look beyond itself, and they're in an apartment building. So they're praying for people that they might add to their life group, and there's a guy called Jim lives in the apartment next door. So Jim gets invited along to the life group, and he comes in, not having been to a Christian meeting before. He's welcome. Nice to have you here. They give him a little drink, settle down. They have their life group meeting. He's never seen anything like this before in his life. So they say goodbye to him, and they say, would you like to come back next week? And he said, well, you are. Okay, I'll come back. So next week he's in there. They welcome him. They sit down and have their little life group meeting again. Now, would you like to come back the next week? Yeah, I'd like to come back the next week. So he comes in the next week. I welcome everybody. I have something to drink. I sit down together. And the life group leader says, Jim, would you like to lead us in prayer? And Jim is stunned. He says, I don't know how to do that. Oh, it's easy. Just ask God to give us a good time. So everybody shuts their eyes. And the life group leader sort of looking out the half of his eye to make sure everything's going to be okay with this guy that's come in from the apartment next door. And Jim starts, our God, if you can hear me, this is Jim. I come from the apartment next door. We want to have a good time. Amen. Dear Jim, well, for us to start somewhere is far better than not starting to pray at all. And you don't have to be anybody to start to pray. You don't have to be great in your prayers. But if you want to be great in your prayers, you need to begin. You need to begin to push into this area, which probably is, for the beginner, is really strange for you. Now, in our passage in Luke chapter 11, Jesus is with his disciples, and they've been praying all of their life, three set prayers as Jewish men. They're so familiar with this. They're the inner core of the followers. They're the people the most faithful, the ones that are there through thick and thin. They're always there. They're always available. Yet they're willing to learn and do something different, something new, that's not part of their lifelong routine. Because they watch Jesus go away to what's called a certain place. I love the way where it says that it says certain place. They see Jesus go away to a certain place, and then they watch him come back. And they've seen it before. And he's different. Psalm 34, verse 5 says, they that look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. And there's something about his poise. There's something about his positioning. There's something about his confidence. There's something about the way that he relates. And they begin to understand. Listen, when we pray, it just doesn't happen like that for us. Yes, we pray. But he's different. He gets changed in that. What's going on for you? It's obvious that when we pray, it's different. Now, they recognize that this is not playing catch up with John the Baptist, because John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray.
And they come to Jesus and they say, teach us to pray. Not teach us to pray. But what is it that you're doing? How does this happen for you? How does it get to be a place that you want to go to rather than dismiss because we're too busy? What's going on in this thing? Teach us to pray. It's an amazing thing that the disciples themselves, when they say teach us to pray, that's the only thing that they asked of the Lord. They didn't say to the Lord, teach us to preach. They didn't say, Lord, teach us how to administer the church. They didn't say, teach us how to worship in all of life. They didn't ask that he teach them how to do outreach or how to have relationships. He didn't ask them, they didn't ask him how to do stewardship or how to have a holiday or to rest. They didn't ask who their identity was with him, but they asked him to teach us to pray. Because they'd worked out that worship, outreach, relationships, stewardship, taking rest in your identity, all things arose out of that place of prayer. To learn how to pray is the fundamental thing for all of these things exploding from it. They ask one thing, teach us to pray. Because that's the hub. That's the source. That's from which all things begin to flow. Now, teach us to pray. It's teachable. And that's what we're doing right now. Teach us to pray because it's learnable. That is, wherever we are now, or if you have not yet begun, wherever we are now, there's something to learn. It's a pathway. Incrementally to increase and increase. But it's something that you can take upon yourself and you simply get better at and more satisfied in. And he commences with our Father. That's not just a title. That's not just so that someone in heaven doesn't get mixed up with who they're being addressed to. And this is exactly the opposite of how just innately we go into prayer. Jesus says, start with our Father. Recognize who you are before. That's what you do. That's innately different from how we go about things, particularly in this Protestant evangelical stream of the Christian church in which we are in. We're very good at petition. I want, I need, this is my circumstance, this is where I think you should act, God, this is where I think you should move, God, this is a timetable in which I think you should move, God. And so we start with ourselves, the I want, I need, and I, of course, is the center letter of the word sin. Indicating that we've got things upside down. So the first Christians, when they start to pray, they had a practice. And they would do the sign of the cross. Yeah, from the 4th century, it's documented. 3 fingers, forehead down. And we can understand that as the eye. Before, as they began to pray, that's what they would do. The eye. And the first thing they would do in prayer is cross the eye out. This is not all about me. And that in itself is profoundly significant. As I become before the Father of all things, as I present myself before the Father of mass, movement, space, whom without I would not even exist and think, who gets into a human body, comes seeking us to have a relationship with us, and then is tormented and crucified on a cross, freely taking that and going through that, rising from the dead, that he might have relationship with us. Amen. That we might have forgiveness, that we might be at one with him, that he might be at home with us, and that we might be at home with him. That's why he comes, so that we might be at one with him. And that's the big theological word, atonement. That's who we're before. In the moment. Not about us. About him. Teach us to pray. Recognize who you are before. And that is transformational. Absolutely. Jesus begins to indicate then what's going to happen when you pause first before who you are with. And you sit with the one for which there is no comparison of his love, no earthly category, who has created all things to be at home with you. As you sit with him, you begin to change. And in the prayer, he goes through what is going to happen. Pray this. He doesn't say pray this because it's not going to happen. No, he says pray this because this is what's going to happen. You'll begin to incrementally change. Hallowed be your name. You'll begin to shift from how important I am and my reputation to how important he is and his reputation. So, Dr. Clem comes into 9 o'clock Sunday morning prayer. 20,000 people come to the Christ in Chumba, Zambia, and he finishes his little presentation by saying, glory to God. There's going to be a shift in whose fame you're after. Thy kingdom come. There begins to be a shift in how you see society operate in all its fields of politics, education, and media, and how people ought to be relating together. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. You will begin to find that things that you used to do that were quite acceptable for you now don't lose their taste and their pleasantness about it. And some of the things that you felt were boring before suddenly becomes where you what you want to be doing. In earth, as it is in heaven, you begin to experience that being with the Lord is not something you think about in concept or somehow is above the ceiling, like Jim says, or after you die, but actually heaven is close. Heaven is actually near. That you begin to understand. Jesus said, when you receive him, you have already begun your eternal life. He's there. Give us this day our daily bread. Who you depend upon begins to shift from yourself and your sufficiency over to him. Forgive us our sins. You begin to understand deeply, incrementally, that the Jesus Christ who came and died on the cross for you, in him there was no lack. It wasn't 90% done. It was 100% done. We are forgiven and we can look four eyes into the eyes of the Father right there. No shame on our face. Amen. Forgiven. And you begin to experience the gracious, outrageous, incredible way in which he is overwhelmingly wanting to be with us. As that gets to be in your skin, you begin to teach other people to treat other people the same sort of way as we forgive others that sin against us. And so our baptism is not in water getting wet. Our baptism is in Christ. And we get a little bit wet with the way he is as we begin to spend time with him. Keep us from temptation. We become watchful and alert, and we know the things that we do that somehow mar the fluidity and loveliness of being with him. And deliver us from evil. Become very much attentive to the fact that there is a dominion spiritual onslaught against Christianity and what it's born within Western civilization. to dismiss the Christian faith, to belittle it, to be cynical about it, to put it out of the public place, to never have anything to do with that, even though that's the very thing that's given us Western civilization. You become watchful. So as you're with him, with the Father knowing who you were before, all sorts of things begin to change within you. The Apostle Paul just says this really simply in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, and we, with unveiled faces, not hiding anymore, not hiding because we're too busy, not recognizing that our busyness is our excuse because we don't know how to sit quietly with him. I'll say it again. With unveiled faces, not hiding behind our busyness, not recognizing that our busyness is because we don't know how to sit with him and be loved as we are. We with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, little by little, little by little, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Amen. He does the business of changing as we wait and sit before him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. We get to be changed. We shall be like him. How does that happen? We shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. That's what the apostle says. It's in beholding who he is, we come to be like him. Prayer. I'm not going to be able to tell you everything about prayer today, am I? So let me wave a book around. Who's read a Christian book this year? One, two, three. Well, let this be the one that you want to read this year, all right? Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. I love it. I just keep on getting into that book all of the time. I read a page and put it down. You're taking a picture of me, Ed, aren't you? Now, they're $34.99 in Coorong, is it? I've got half a dozen down the front here for $25. Nothing in it for me. But if you want to buy one for your life group leader, or if the guys want to buy one for their wife that's always telling you that you don't pray enough, buy one of these, all right? Living like Monks, Praying. Praying like monks, living like fools. So you might like to do that. You might like to learn more about this by picking up in your life group the Alpha Prayer Series. It's a series of videos. You might like to suggest that within your life group, that you look at all the Lord's Prayer and not just the two words of where you begin today. Or you might like to come along to us with our spring prayer retreat, where together as a group we will be teaching and encouraging one another how to sit before the Lord, and that's on October the 12th. It's in a retreat situation. You're small in number, but you're really welcome to come. Prayer, it's transformational. I had reason to be in the Monash Hospital just recently, laying on my back. I'm fine. It's just me trying to get some more strokes off my wife, get her running around, you know, a little more attentive or something like that. I'm fine. But it made me think of the whole hospital situation. You get time to think when you're in hospital flat on your back being bossed around by these little ladies that want to put all these pricks in your arm all the time. And I was thinking about the pastor that turned up at the hospital to visit one of his senior men, one of the core of his church. He held every position probably in the church could be. Everybody knew him. He was getting senior in years, and the pastor came to visit him. And At the end of their conversation together, the pastor said to him, would you like to pray as we finish? And when you're on a hospital bed, you know, you speak with a clarity, and you've got a clarity about life and what's important and where you are, and you're not pretending anymore. This is. And he says, well, Pastor, I don't think I've ever been... I've said a lot of prayers before people, but I don't think I have really known what it is to pray. Well, the pastor thought about that for a little while, and he said, well, here I am in the visitor's chair. I pulled it right up next to your bed, and you're just talking very openly with me, just transparently of who you are. And when you pray, just do that with Jesus. So the next day, the pastor was home, and it was the afternoon, and he got a phone call. A phone call was from the senior gentleman in the hospital's daughter. And she said, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor, I just got the news. Dad's gone. And the pastor expressed his sorrow for it. And they talked a little while. And the daughter said, did you go to see him this morning? She said, no, I wasn't here there this morning. I was there yesterday. And the daughter says, well, that's really strange, because when we went to the hospital, the visitor's chair was pulled up right next to Dad's bed. And another strange thing was Dad had his arm out of the blankets and resting on the arm of the chair. Because the man had learned to pray as if he was right there, within arm's reach. And dear ones, however your week is spent, whatever you do in your day, he's less than an arm's length from you. And whatever situation you're in, whether it be so crazy or unexpected or whatever, he's less than an arm's length from you. Amen. And now as we sit in the room right here, he's less than an arm's length from you. That's him, right there. Right now. In a couple of weeks' time, I get to speak at a Khmer Cambodian church for their fourth anniversary. And I remember how this church first began, because I was speaking in the congregation, and I noticed up the back of when I was speaking, there was a lady there, big brown, beautiful eyes. She would love me to hear me say that. And I really noticed her, because she was sitting on the edge of her seat as I was speaking. Well, not many people do that when I speak, you know. It's good for me. So she's sitting on the edge of her seat. And I thought, wow, what's going on here? And I knew that it wasn't just the words that I was saying, but it was the Lord was whispering his words into her heart. And she was like, totally like a blank slate. And I got to be less than superficial or crazy or stupid here. I need to be able to say what's going to lodge in her heart, because that's how she's taking it. Yeah? She's on the edge of her seat. You know, in Corinthians, it says, 1 Corinthians 7, Paul says, I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. Undivided devotion. That you might live in a right way with undivided devotion to the Lord. The word undivided devotion gets translated like that. Literally, it means to be leaning forward. That you live in a right way in undivided devotion. That is leaning forward. In the Greek, because of its commencement, means you are leaning right forward. And here she was, leaning right forward. I want to hear. I want to take this in. I'm hungry for this. Live in a right way, leaning right forward for what the Lord has got to say. And she had no idea. I didn't even know who it was. Later on, I found out it was this guy's wife. He's in a wheelchair. He's got four kids. He planted the church. He's got a campus in Brisbane. He's got a campus in Cambodia. Church is 4 years old. She had no idea what was going to happen, but she was leaning right forward to take it. She had no idea what was to come. And when you know who is before you and you lean right forward to hear, he'll take you on a journey that you never planned to go, and he'll show you things that you've never seen before. Call unto me, and I will answer you. And I will show you great, mighty things which you do not yet know. There's a word in the Hebrew called Jezeb. And Jezeb is that attitude that she had when she was leaning forward. It's like she was all ears. The Cantonese people say they had cleaned their ears.
Yes, Sam? Yeah.
They cleaned their ears like this. Like this. And in Psalm chapter 66, verse 19, but it says, God has surely listened and kasab my voice in prayer. God has surely listened and leaned forward with pricked ears to hear what I've got to say. Hear the word of the Lord. Because the doubt in your head says he's not like that, and it's a fable. It's false. It's actually make-believe. You can live your life under it, but that's not where God is. The word of truth says God has listened to me and he's leaned forward with pricked ears to hear my prayer. And everything changes. Incrementally, I know. Everything changes. So we learn to live all of our life by that moment. When we're before him, we learn to live all of our life as him before us, beginning to understand that we live all of our life within the gaze of his speechless love. Him wanting to be with us more than we could ever be with him. Wow. I love that. I so want to tell you that. Really important for me that you know that. We've got time to do a prophecy, have we? Have we? Wow. So, prophecy. Prayer and prophecy. Your hearing gets better as you begin to lean right in. And you begin to know what's on his heart. You begin to know what he wants to do. You begin to know the way he approaches things because that's the way he's approaching you. It becomes a living, felt, real, dynamic thing. His spirit becoming alive within your spirit. So I love Psalm 25, verse 14a from the Passion paraphrase, really. There's a private place reserved for the devoted lovers of Yahweh where they sit near him, sit near him. And receive the revelation secrets of his promises. We begin to pick up what he's like and what he's about, and we begin to see through his eyes rather than just our self-absorbed eyes. Or as the NIV says, the Lord confides in those who fear him. Perhaps more simply and familiar to you is my sheep hear, listen to me. My sheep listen to me. And this little book, My Sheep Have Ears, would be the one that I would commend on that. It's Kath Lipsey. Those that are prayer ministry team went to the training with Kath. She made the simple comment that I really love. She said, in the room right now, there's television waves, there's GPS waves, there's radio waves. We don't pick them up because we haven't got the receptors for them. They're all there. We know they're there. And likewise, the Lord, because of his nearness, is speaking to us. And we learn to have those receptors. To pick it up. And you have ears. My sheep have ears. You have that ability to pick him up. And there's all sorts of ways in which that's happened. We can't go into it now, but we will go into that in our spring prayer retreat. There's so many announcements. I thought I'd sneak the announcement in here. And October the 12th, we'll go into that, how you can pick up the voice of the Lord. And indeed, in the last section of the day, we're going to have a time where, having put people before the Lord in his presence, they're going to begin pick up impressions of what the Lord is doing and move around the room and begin to share them. John chapter 10, verse 15, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Let's get over this well done, good and faithful servant nonsense. As if this is jobs for Jesus joint. Huh? What's this servant in? Do this, get on this roster, whatever. I no longer call you servants, but I call you a friend. Why do I call you a friend? Because everything the Father has for me, he's taught me. I've learned from him. I call you friends, and friends share secrets, do they not? When you're friends and at home with people, you begin to pick up their heart. Now, when you prophesy or hear something and you submit it, three quick things. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6, if a man has a gift of prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. You're never going to know exactly in concrete that this is what the Lord wants to say. Get used to it. It's a thing of faith. Next, in 1 Corinthians 13:4, when you sense the Lord's heart, what's going to come out? It's going to be the nature of strengthening and encouragement and of comfort. 1 Corinthians 14:5, I would that you all prophesy. That is, that we come into this place, we're sitting down at 9:55, and we're not coming to a service, we're coming to the Lord. Lord, you're here, I'm friends with you. What do you want to do? He would have every one of you hear his voice and be prompted by that and move according to that in this place. Ministry is not up here. Ministry is for you all. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. What's he asking you to do right now? How's he asking you to follow right now? What is he whispering to you as you lean forward? And now there's a whole lot of stories I could tell from what happens up here in the prayer ministry team. I can't tell any of them. They're all tender. They're all tearful. They're relevant. Incredibly so. And if you haven't been forward for prayer ministry, it's not that you come to forward to these people because they're better than you. And they're not going to say their best prayer that they've made up for their 30 years, 40 years, 50 years of life. You know, they're not going to scrape the heavens for you. They're going to stand with you and say, Lord, what do you want to say to them? What do you want to say? What's in your heart for this person? And if you haven't been up for prayer ministry, stand before the Lord, not the prayer ministry team, and wait for him to speak. I was in a Churches of Christ conference meeting a little while ago. I'd been asked by the pastor of the Cambodian church to come and, on behalf of Churches of Christ, lay hands on him as we declared that it was ordained of the Lord that he be a minister. So in doing that, I came up to the second front seat and I sat there, and the service began. And then I suddenly realized that I was right in front of the loudspeaker. You know, and if one of the ways that you pick up what the Lord's doing is that you sense that it might be a pain or something on your body, and you know, yes, someone here has got an issue with that and we need to pray for them. You've heard that named often sometimes here on a Sunday morning. If there was any way I was going to sense on my body that there was some sort of issue there that I knew I had to pray for someone, it wasn't going to happen, because my skeleton's actually shaking physically in front of the bass and the drums right there in front of me. And I'm saying, Lord, what are you doing here? And my mind keeps on getting distracted by the volume. What are you doing here, Lord? Just let me rest here. What are you doing here? And my eye lights upon this lady in front of me that's got long blonde hair. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, well, that'd be you, Ron, wouldn't you? You'd see the lady with the long blonde hair, wouldn't you? No, that can't be you, Lord, you know. But it was like everything comes hazy. Like you get on Zoom and you can haze the background, and then the person's there. It was like that. My eye was on her, and I felt some words come to me, and I said, "Well, Lord, how do I know that's with you?" No, you always prophesy by faith. You never know concrete. Are these words encouraging, edifying, comforting? Yes, they are. But maybe you could give me some more so it could be a bit more impressive. You know what I mean? Just this little thing. So the worship finishes and the whole service finishes, and I come to the end and I think, well, here we go. You know what I mean? It's a matter of faith. And I leaned over to the lady, and then when she turned around, I could see that she had all of this darkness around her eyes. And I could see just how, I feel to say, skeletal she was, just so frail. I thought I'd noticed that when her hands were raised in worship. And I said, "Excuse me, I've been sitting behind you. I know that you don't know me, and I know that this probably sounds really, really weird, but I felt that, I sensed that the Lord wanted to say something to you." And, you know, the music started again. And so I've got to lean in, you know, forget about this distance appropriateness. I've got to really lean in to be heard. And I said to you, "I feel the Lord wants to say to you, he sees you, he knows, and he's heard your prayer." And I stepped back, and I didn't want to know over the racket whether she heard. So, but then I felt the emotions begin to flow. And I've learned that that's just not an old guy that has his emotions on the surface more these days. You begin to feel the compassion of the Lord rise within you. And I'm on the verge of tears, and I can feel it now. Lord, this is the Lord's heart that I get to speak. I leaned in again. I said, "The Lord sees you. He knows. And he hears your prayer." And I step back from her, and she looks at me. She puts out these little skeletal hands on my elbow in response. And she says, "Thank you so much for that. That means so much. I have stage 4 cancer." In this auditorium, there's so much stuff going on. And the Apostle Paul, if the musicians can now come, the Apostle Paul says, "I would that you'd all be able to speak the heart of God. That you would all prophesy. That even now in this moment, as you sit there with unexpected, there might be people coming to mind or scriptures within your, just popping into your head now. And it's like you see somebody that's the only person in the room." And that's because the Lord prompts you to go over and speak that word of encouragement, strengthening, and comfort. "I would that you all hear my voice. I know you. I know how to come to you, and that you would follow my promptings." I haven't got any musicians. Maybe they still like to come. Here they are. Here they are. So, prayer and prophecy, speaking to the beginner about why prayer and prophecy is important. Prayer is important because it'll transform everything about you. Prophecy is important because when you're next to his heart, you'll be activated with how to minister and how to give to people and bless them. Now, if all of this is a mystery to you, if we stand and sing a song and open our hearts to the Lord, if you've never given your life to him, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he rose from the dead, you'll be saved. If you confess before men that he is Lord, his Father will confess your name in heaven. If you don't know without a shadow of a doubt that you are his, you belong to him, and you have a home in heaven, come forth. Let's register that right now. And if you've got a hunger in your heart, if you've heard me talk about prayer, you think to yourself, "What on earth have I been doing?" that there's something more for you. And you want somebody to pray for you and speak over your life. If I hear something from the Lord, you come forward. And if there's an activation, listen to this one, it's different. If you want an activation in your mind of a release of the capacity to speak the words of God to people, we want to pray for you. That in this moment, the Lord God, by His Spirit, would release that capacity within you as a gift. And that you would be the fountain of His love and His grace to the people around you. In Jesus' name. Now let's come to the Lord. Not do a song, let's stand. Come to the Lord. Prayer team, come please. And if you feel that twinge within your heart, we want to see you at the front. Thank you, Lord. By His great Spirit, Lord, stir us from our complacency and the routine, the normalcy. Thank you for what you want to do in our lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that it's your own very Spirit within us that is able to do it. And this from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that these are the very people here in this room in whom you want to do far more abundantly than all we dare to think and all we dare to imagine. In Jesus' name, we come to you.